Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I am your host, Ali Samani. This is the career development home for all current as well as former NBA players. And we are very excited today. We actually have a board member for the National Basketball Retired Players Association. He's currently also a branch manager at the North Houston office for Open Mortgage, as well as been a career development counselor at the National Basketball Players Association, been a director of player programs at the Players Association, as well as had a 10-year career in the NBA and has a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. We're very happy to have him. His name is Harvey Catchings. Harvey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ali. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. We're happy to have you. You have an abundance of experience, and I think that, you know, a lot of our listeners are really going to enjoy this interview because being both a career counselor, a director of player programs, and having, a significantly long career in the NBA as well as your success off the court, you know, I'm really looking forward to some of the insight that you can provide our listeners.
That sounds great, Ali. I tell you, it's been a wonderful ride for me, especially having an opportunity to, you know, playing the NBA for 11 years and also having, you know, the opportunity that a lot of guys don't take advantage of, and that's being able to begin the process of retirement even while you're, you know, still playing in the league.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we'll be able to touch on those items as well.
That's a great segue because, you know, my first question is, coming into the league, you know, you had a 10-year career. When did you think you started thinking about life after basketball?
Well, when I came into the league, you know, needless to say, the money is nowhere near what it was today.
Right.
Well, obviously, we knew that even you know, having an opportunity to play for that length of time, I knew that I would still have to do something once I left the league. I didn't have the leisure or the pleasure of, you know, being able to take time off. So I think after my second or third year in the league, I really started taking a look at different business opportunities and also, you know, getting involved in some of the opportunities in and around the cities that I played in and just, you know, trying to find the right mentors and people that were successful in what they were doing to, you know, kind of learn from.
Wow.
Because one of the things that we do as players, you know, we come into the league thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to play 10, 15 years in the league. And then two or three years, you're out of the league in two or three years. Now all of a sudden, then you wake up one morning and say, hey, I've got to do something. But if you're aggressive in taking a look at the prospects that are around you on a game-by-game, you know, period, and then just start meeting some of these people and trying to figure out what they do. You know, every time I meet somebody, within the first 2 to 3 minutes, I ask them what is it that you do? And then try to get a clear understanding of what they do from them so that, you know, you can, at the end of the day, decide, is this something that I want to find out more about or is this something I want to catalog? But, you know, what you do is you put yourself in a position where they respect the fact that, you know, you're coming to them and asking them about what they do.
So much of the understanding that it seems like you had and the maturity that you had came with the fact that at that time, you know, salaries weren't that high and there was a need for almost, I guess, everyone to think about what life after basketball or life after sports, for that matter, consisted of. What do you think those main key things are? Now, you touched upon networking right away. You touched upon exploring different business opportunities. At that time, how did you vet through what was a good opportunity versus what was a bad opportunity? Because a lot of guys out there currently may spend, you know, great sums of money on things that they may have not done a good amount of research on or may have got influenced by a certain individual.
Well, one of the things that was unusual for me was the fact that my parents were business owners growing up.
Okay.
I had an opportunity to, you know, work in my mother's store, work in my father's service station, and they also had an office building. So, you know, the background that I have is going to be different from, you know, a lot of players because, you know, I had those aspects of my life growing up. But I think for guys that didn't have that kind of access, and, you know, I mean, a majority of our guys probably came from single-parent households or, you know, conditions that weren't, you know, great conditions, they have to understand that people are willing to listen to what they have to say. And all you've got to do, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is put yourself in a networking mode where, you know, you are the one that's approaching people. I think we have a tendency, and even now, you know, some of the guys that I played against and that are not necessarily doing well, you know, these are guys that still have that introverted sense that if you don't come to me, then, you know, I'm not going to come to you. But you're the one that's got to take control of your career and decide, you know what, it's not about my comfort level at this point. I've got to step outside of that and really try to put myself in a position where I'm able to capitalize on these opportunities now. Because I used to tell guys, you know, when I worked for the NBA and when I worked for the Players Association, if you don't take advantage of these opportunities while you're playing, they go away very, very quickly when you're not. Because you're no longer out on the court, you know, showcasing your skills. Once you become a former anything, the value of who you are to a certain extent is diminished.
That's right.
And that's the way people look at you.
That's right. Now, there's a lot that I kind of want to touch on within this interview. So, you know, just to start off here, can you tell me a little bit about what you just alluded to? And that seems like the main theme there was confidence and having the confidence to go up and speak to somebody. And a lot of times, you're right, there would be individuals and players that are out there. And we're not talking about former players only. We're talking about current players that are out there as well that have an introverted personality by nature and may not have that confidence to go up and go speak to somebody. What would you suggest would be some key things that they could work on right now that could help them, be it if they were current or former players?
Well, the thing that the NBA and also the Players Association has done an excellent job of is being able to put guys into media speaking opportunities where they, you know, have a chance to get in front of the camera, you know, get in a position where, you know, they can do interviews, get them to a point where they feel comfortable. Because when I was growing up, you know, I was very shy. You know, my wife, if you talk to my wife, she'd say, no way, you've all, but, you know, there was a point where I did not feel comfortable. And I think that's what happens with a lot of us, because I've heard guys say, well, you know, my game speaks for itself on the court.
Right.
And that's all well and good. But once you step off the court, if all you have is basketball and you don't have anything else to branch out into, then people find very, very quickly that, okay, this is a person that's very, very one-dimensional. And that's one of the things that's frustrating for us as players, is when we think that we'll be able to, you know, put on our resume that we were the leading scorer, leading shot blocker, or I was a, you know, all-star, this and that. But yet, when I go into a business environment, you can't just have that on your resume.
Right.
You got to have that, you know, I took this, you know, internship, or I went out and did an internship with a major corporation, you know. And the bottom line is that you've got to put yourself in an environment where you understand that people are willing to help you. And I think that's one of the things that we also overlook as well, because, you know, we think, okay, well, you know, I'm a basketball player. No, it's a job just like any other job that you
right.
would have.
Right.
And once you label yourself that, then what you've done is you've actually put a stopgap between you and your future. I knew early on, like I said, that I had to, you know, be able to take a look at other opportunities. And the first thing that you do is find things that interest you. You know, like one of the things that we had at one time, we know a lot of guys like playing video games. And I know people say, well, wow, you know, video games. Yeah, but, you know, EA Sports at one time had an internship program for guys that wanted to learn about programming. You know, at some point, you know, it could have turned into a business on the side. So, I mean, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can take a look at where you are now and decide, okay, these are the things that interest me.
Okay.
I used to read a lot of magazines. You know, I used to watch a lot of, you know, informational, you know, videos and programs on television. So you've got to put yourself in a position where you're marketable.
Okay. So now, You received your Bachelor of Science in Psychology. Did you receive that prior to going into the league or after?
It was after.
Okay.
It was after, yeah. It's really interesting. I knew that I needed it, and I went ahead and, you know, got it knocked out. But I've also, I've always been a person that always tried to help someone.
Right.
And so, you know, it was a perfect opportunity for me working at the NBA and the Players Association, because one of the first things about psychology is to be able to listen, and not only listen to what people are saying, but also listen to what they're not saying and watch their body movements and, you know, that whole dynamic. And so that gave me a real good indication as to, you know, how to approach guys and what, you know, information, you know, guys might need at, you know, at particular times.
So here's kind of just to kind of recap some of the things that you said, and very valuable things here. Number one, when you're building confidence, it's very important to start off and take small steps. And
absolutely,
when you're taking those small steps, whether it's putting yourself in terms of in front of a public, doing, you know, a high school talk or a college talk, or even a couple of interviews for broadcasters or what have you, that can help you build confidence. And when you're trying to stem out of that, that smaller kind of gap and look towards, you know, new opportunities, maybe what you want to do is look to your own networks. And like you kind of did, and obviously you were very fortunate to have your parents owning their own business and an office complex, maybe looking towards who do I know that I'm close with, that I can connect with and understand what are some of the things that they're doing right now that I can learn from, to expose me to whether it's a new industry or a new career, and just get an understanding of where their confidence comes from. And at least you have that rapport to build your own. Is that right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
One of the things, Ali, that we used to do when I worked at the NBA, is, and this is what we would say in every presentation that we did, is that every CEO in the country right now would love to have an audience with you while you're playing. So all they had to do was, you know, give us, you know, the names, and we would make the introduction. Well, I guess you can imagine that the number of guys that took advantage of that was probably slim to none.
Right.
A lot of it was because of the confidence factor, but also because athletes are made up different than you know, your traditional graduate coming out of college. We call it the upside-down bell curve. Because when you're an athlete, you make a tremendous amount of money up front. And then as your career wanes down, you know, obviously you're going to make less money. And when you get into the real world, it's going to be even less. I mean, I had situations where guys, you know, would come to me while I was a counselor. And I said, okay, well, what feels good to you? I said, well, when I get out of the NBA, I want to have a job making $150,000, $200,000 a year. And I would say, okay, well, what are you bringing to the table in exchange for that kind of salary? Because you're going to have to bring that kind of value in order for it to work for you. And then they were dumbfounded because they couldn't understand. Well, you know, it's almost like, do you know who I am? You know, and this is what I'm bringing to the table. And it's a lot more than that. You've got to educate yourself. I know that, you know, a lot of guys don't take advantage of the educational cycle. I mean, they have a tremendous amount of time, especially while they're in the league, a tremendous amount of time, especially with computers being the way that they are now, where you can download information when you're on the road. You can pull it up and you can read about different articles. And like I said earlier, if it's something that you're interested in, you know, try to find out as much information as you can, because if you are able to, you know, sit down and talk with someone that's in an industry that you like, if you start speaking their language, I mean, the light bulbs are going to go off, because they're looking for that next light bulb or that next person that they can move up the ladder. And what better situation for you than to have someone that has that kind of credibility pushing you up the ladder and then trying to make sure that they foster your success?
Right. So upon retirement – was your first position as a career development counselor for the PA? Did you work on anything on the side? Did you have any businesses at that time?
I had a at that time I had an auto body shop back in Jersey, and I also did some fundraising for an organization called Little City Foundation. I mean, I've had a full gamut of opportunities that have opened up to me. But I've always approached them from the standpoint that, you know, each opportunity is a stepping stone to get to the next opportunity.
Right,
and
right.
If it's something that I really, really embrace and want to do long term, then I'm trying to constantly put myself in a position where I'm constantly learning so that I can constantly bring value.
Right.
And that's what you have to try to wrap your arms around coming out of the league. Because, yeah, it's great, you know, the things that you were able to do. And even now, people say, oh, yeah, you used to play in the NBA. Like, yeah, sure did. So well, what are you doing now? And it completely goes away from the NBA.
Right.
And I started focusing on what I'm doing now because the things that I did back then really can't help me other than open a door. Once that door is open, then it's up to me to keep that door open and then get inside by what I'm able to do for that particular company.
And I like that analogy. I mean, it sounds very simple and it sounds very, you know, to the bone, the bare bones of it, but it's the truth. In the end, you know, you being a professional athlete, you playing in the NBA is going to allow you to open the door. And if you use that analogy and understand that, that when that door opens, you have to have something to put your step on for the next step. You have to have some type of support system, some type of knowledge, some type of value that you're bringing into that room for that next conversation or that introduction, because after that door opens, it's up to you and what your knowledge base is, not necessarily what you've kind of done in the past.
Well, you know, that statement that they've had out forever, the dumb jock. You know, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you are not a dumb jock.
Mm-hmm.
That when you go into an interview that you're prepared. Because one of the worst things that you could ever do is, you know, have a high-level opportunity to sit down and talk with someone. Because the first time that they meet with you, they're going to meet with you because of what you've done or what you're doing. But in order to get that second meeting with them, it's got to be something that you're able to bring to them.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the projects that you're currently working on, as well as some of the things that you worked on in the past, and how you determined if they were good ideas or bad ideas, and what direction you kind of took. Now you mentioned that you opened a car repair shop. Is that right?
Right.
An auto body shop. Now, how did you get into that, and then what was the next step after that for you?
You know what? I actually met a guy that was very, very good at what he did.
Okay.
And, you know, as you go through that process, you continue to, you know, try to learn as much as you can about the industry. What I did at that point, and I was pretty young, and I'll admit it, that was not a very good idea at the time because, you know, those kinds of entities are cash businesses.
Right.
So unless you have tremendous trust in the person that you bring in, you know, you can kind of get taken advantage of. And with us being athletes, you know, we always have a tendency to migrate towards people that we like and then, you know, try to bring them into our confidence and give them an opportunity to invest our money. And as a result, you know, a lot of guys have been taken advantage of because, you know, yeah, we're trying to look ahead and trying to say, okay, well, I got to make sure that, you know, this money's working for me and, you know, and so, you know, my future is secure. But like I used to tell guys, you make so much money now that you really don't need a tremendous amount of risk. We had guys that say, yep, you know, my Uncle Jimmy, you know, he always wore a suit and tie, so he always seemed like he knew what he was talking about. So when I decided to go into business, I brought Uncle Jimmy in to run the business. Well, they don't realize that Uncle Jimmy didn't know how to run a business.
Right.
And so, you know, you have situations where guys will bring family and friends in, and that's one of the worst things that you can do because now you put yourself in a position where you're getting ready to basically lose it. The relationship, because once you start losing your hard-earned money, that relationship's going to change.
Right. Things get real really quickly.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I tell guys, I say, you know what, before you invest your money in something, try it first. Because if you know, you might look at something on the outside, like this car, you know, this, like this body shop, you know, it's a great idea. Everybody needs it. And I'm thinking, boy, this could be great, and we could franchise, and then we could do this and do that. But the reality is that that wasn't something that I wanted to do long-term once I got into it. But, you know, you start investing money, and then all of a sudden, you know, now you start trying to change directions in the middle of the game. And, it was a bad decision on my part at the time. What I should have done was, you know, taking a look at other opportunities as well. You know, I took a look at real estate, you know, did pretty well in that. The mortgage industry is something that I've always been fascinated about. And now, you know, I'm with Open Mortgage. I was with Wells Fargo in the reverse mortgage division, you know, for 3 years until they, you know, dropped their program. But now the thing that I'm focusing on now is the business that I'm in, and that's the mortgage industry, because, you know, if you're going to buy a house, everybody got to have one.
How did you get into that?
I actually made a phone call to Wells Fargo and set up an interview, and came in very, very prepared, you know, with a lot of information, made sure that I somewhat knew what I was talking about, and actually got the job while I was there on the interview. Wells Fargo had a tremendous training program, so I was able to learn all the ins and outs of the industry, and you know, everything just took off from there.
How did you prepare for that interview in terms of developing a resume? Were you familiar with that process? And even in terms of research, did you kind of do the work online? Did you consult people?
Well, what I did there was the great thing about the internet now, Ali, is that if you type in reverse mortgage, it's going to give you more than enough information,
right.
You know, about the product. So what I wanted to do going in was I wanted to make sure that I had the mechanics of a reverse mortgage now, and also these, you know, I mean, I've been in sales for a number of years, so from a sales standpoint, that wasn't a problem. I think it was more me making him feel confident that this is something that I wanted to do. And that this is something that I was going to, you know, put a tremendous amount of effort into learning more about. And I think that the more that we're able to, you know, pass on, you know, those ideas and those understandings, the more comfortable it's going to make the interviewer or the CEO or whomever we're meeting with, you know, get them to feel that we bought into, you know, their process, and that we're going to do everything that we can do to be successful.
So here I just want to, you know, sum up again. One of the things that you kind of mentioned earlier was when you are investing in businesses and at a very early stage, and if you cannot commit your full amount of time towards something, if you're engaged with another project or if you're currently playing, potentially looking at cash businesses with a very you know, magnified kind of vision, and ensuring that this is the right decision, and understanding the risks that come with a cash business, because there could be, you could run into issues of trust and things like that. So definitely evaluating cash businesses with a more focused eye. And then secondly, when you are entering a different industry, really preparing well and utilizing the resources that are available to you when you're looking at different things on the internet. It's not just about understanding what the actual product is, but like you mentioned, understanding the mechanics of how a certain system functions, or how a certain equity technique works. And those things are very critical in terms of understanding that you're going to get a better chance at a potential job opportunity or job offer. And like yourself, getting a job offer within the context of an interview is fantastic. And that only happens because you go in with such a confidence level, because you understand what you're stepping into. Now, when, you've had such a, thankfully, I mean, you've had such a great career off the court. You also have a daughter who plays in the WNBA. Her name is Tamika Catchings. And tell me some of the advice that you give her for, like, post-retirement or post-basketball.
Well, one of the things that we talk about all the time, and we've actually, she's been in the league for 10 years now, and this started back her second, third year in the league. I would always ask her, Mika, what are your plans after you finish playing? And in the beginning, she would say, well, I don't know, Dad. I just want to enjoy the experience. And that's what you get, from athletes, especially at the beginning of their career.
Right.
But what I did was I kept coming back to her and, telling her that, it would be a great idea for her to do an internship. At one time, she wanted to work in the front office at the Indiana Fever. And at some point, work at the league office. And I said, well, what you have to do is you have to approach people that are in a position to either say, okay, well, Mika, you know what, when the season is over, why don't you come in and spend a week or two or, whatever, just seeing what we do. And so she took advantage of those opportunities. She's come to find us, I don't know if that's, I don't know if there's something I want to do. She has an incredible relationship with Pat Summitt, and I know Pat has spoken to her about, well, why don't you get into coaching when you're done? What better mentor can you have than a Pat Summitt?
Exactly.
But I've always kind of stayed close to her from the standpoint of saying, okay, Mika, make sure that you take advantage of all these different opportunities. Now she has her own nonprofit agency. She wants to expand on that, and she actually wants to evolve into that full time once she, finishes playing. But the thing that she has to wrap her arms around is the fact that she's got to get the necessary pieces in place that will be able to support her as well as the agency, once she finishes playing.
Exactly.
I think that she's moving in the right direction because she's not afraid to try anything. She's doing a lot more speaking now, so that gives her a different profile there. She's meeting a lot of people in different industries. She has some exciting people on her board. So, she's constantly learning and she's constantly challenging herself to be better. She's a great athlete on the court, but now she's forcing herself to use that same drive and determination off the court that will help her develop long-term, throughout her employment career.
It's some great points there. I mean, I like, what I think really helps her, and she's really fortunate, and you're also really fortunate for the fact that at least you're there as a mentor for her, continuously reminding, and as you mentioned, you kind of introduced the whole idea of what are you going to do after retirement, what are your thoughts, what do you like, what do you dislike, in her second year, and it's a very early stage, but having a mentor and within your career is very important. Someone that might tell you no when you want to hear yes, and that's kind of the key thing there. Tell me, at the end of each show we have a pay it forward moment, and it's kind of an opportunity for you to speak to some of the current as well as former players on maybe two or three key tips that you think would be vital for them to know right now, whether you're speaking to current or former, and you might want to break it apart, whatever it is, what are those two or three things that you think would be really important for them to practice, that they can go out and practice right now that could help them with their off-court careers going forward?
I think that the greatest thing that I would probably put in front of them right now is the ability to network. I know that when we were at the NBA, when I was at the NBA in the Players Association, one of the things that we told guys to do was have business cards made up. And whether that business card had, their agent's number on it or a number that someone could call and leave a message and they could call them back, or and when you went to networking opportunities or when you went to these different, gatherings, pass those out to people, because what does that tell people? Well, it tells people that, number one, you're professional off the court as well. and that you're about the business of developing relationships. And I guarantee you, you know what, you know, it's interesting. I don't think that there are very, very many people out there that would not want you to succeed off the court. Those people just don't have access to you. So you have to make sure that you go to them. And so, you know, if I can't urge you to do anything else, take advantage of being able to go out and just meet people. The other thing is to continue to read, continue to get these audio books, you know, on different, you know, on sales style, on you know, any area that you're interested in going into. Get as much information as you possibly can, you know, going forward. Don't be so anxious to invest your money in stuff until you know what you're investing in. You know, a lot of us have a tendency to think, okay, well, you know, sounds good. Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Let's do it. But then if you can't explain to someone, you know, what you're doing when you're investing your money, then you shouldn't be in it.
Right.
Because that shows a disconnect right there, and you put yourself in a position where you can be taken advantage of. And we've all been there. You know, if I, you know, that old statement, if I knew now what I knew then, I'd do a lot of things differently. Well, you don't have to deal with my mistakes. The reality now is that for you to, if someone is talking about getting you into something, just tell them, train me, teach me this industry first before I get into it. And if they're really in it for your best interest, then they will take the time to show you how this all lays out even before you get involved. I saw Magic a little over a couple of weeks ago. He was here in Houston. And one of the things that he has done is he's aligned himself with people that are very, very knowledgeable people, that are very, very sharp business people. And I told him, I said, man, is there anything that you've touched that doesn't turn to gold? He said, Harvey, you know what? My first few years after I got out, he said, I made a lot of mistakes. But he said these last 10, 15 years have been great because I put together a team of people that have helped me to elevate my company. And, I mean, you know, he's got $1 billion-plus business now. So, you know, the bottom line is networking, is making sure that you learn the business before you get into the business and you put your dollars out there, and then also putting together a team of people that are in it for not only their best interest, but yours.
Harvey, that was fantastic. I really want to thank you for your time here. At the Post Game Plan. I am your host, Ali Samani. This has been the Post Game Plan. Our guest today was Harvey Catchings. Harvey, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You are more than welcome, Ali, anytime.
This has been a fantastic interview. I know my listeners really are really going to enjoy this, especially some of the key points about teamwork, networking, understanding how to do due diligence, you know, being more careful about cash businesses. There's so many great points within the context of this interview that I know people will appreciate. So once again, Harvey, thank you very much. This has been the Post Game Plan. I hope you guys enjoy the interview and have a fantastic day. We will see you guys soon.